been a really good week, and it just, it's so fundamental to Christian life, to life lived that's pleasing to God. Prayer is so fundamental to that. Not saying prayers, but the attitude of calling upon the name of the Lord, looking for help from God. And subject this morning is answered prayer. Talk about answered prayer, which is what you want. You want answered prayer. And I was thinking about this year and some of the answered prayers that we've seen here. And I'd go back and forth debate whether, but I'll ask you guys, is there anyone in here that would say, you know what, the Lord's answered this for me? Any prayers? Go ahead, Mary Beth. Amen. Mary Beth's uncle, just a little backstory. Mary Beth's uncle, he would, to put it mildly, he would not be in church. But he just happened to be in town, and he just happened to decide, you know what, I'll go to church tonight. And he brought it up. That's big. Amen. That's big. That's big. Anybody else? Anything else? Billy, go ahead. Yes. Amen. Cancer twice, both times went into remission. Amen. Amen. Alan, go ahead. Oh, man. Yes. Amen. I gotta say something. I was getting, when that fever was going for weeks, so that scared me. I was scared. I know y'all were too, but like, yeah. When you came back, Alan, when you came back a couple weeks ago, there were so many joyful faces here, so much happiness. It's incredible. Amen. Amen. Denise, go ahead. Amen. Able to talk to some open doors. Wow. Anybody else? Anything else? Shirley? Amen. 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 Marcy, go ahead. Amen. Renee got saved. That was a big one. That was a big one. That's, the Lord's working. The Lord is working. Amen. Anybody else? We just do this the whole time. I don't know. Jeanette, go ahead. That has been. Yes. Putting y'all together was something nobody would have dreamed of doing, and that has been so successful. So helpful. So helpful. Amen. Answered prayer. Anybody else? Anything else? Well, I think Jeff is an answered prayer. praying for all the heart operation, and man, and then there was complications after that, but now Jeff's here and answered prayer. It's good. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So Daniel chapter 9, good stuff. Daniel chapter 9. There are some elements in Daniel's prayer and Daniel's seeking God that you and I get some of this in our lives, boy, it would help. It would help. Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel is in captivity in Babylon. He's been there for years now. And he was hauled out of his home country by Nebuchadnezzar as a kid, really, maybe a teenager, but as a young man. And he was taken captive by the Babylonians. He was put into service under Nebuchadnezzar. And now he's been in captivity for probably 70 years at least. And he prays, and this whole chapter, most of it is prayer, and it gets answered. And we'll see that. But understand a few things about Daniel's prayer. Look in verse 1. We'll just start here. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." I'm going to stop there. Daniel, just a couple words about Daniel. His heart is for the things of God. I mean, if there's another man that could be said, he's a man after my own heart. Daniel, probably the Lord could have said that about Daniel as well. He loves the things that God loves. His heart is for Jerusalem. His heart is for the place on earth that God loves. And so he's captive miles and miles away in Babylon. And he's looking and trying to seek out an answer of when the Lord and will the Lord restore Jerusalem? Will he rebuild? Will the people of Israel be able to go back? And so he gets this letter from Jeremiah, and the letter's not personally addressed to him, but it's a letter that Jeremiah had sent years ago. And I'm going to show it to you. You can learn a little bit of your Bible here, but look back in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and chapter 29. Put a couple things together here for you. Jeremiah was the prophet, the main prophet, really, that preached to the nation of Israel during the time Nebuchadnezzar was invading Israel and taking captives and really destroying Jerusalem. Jeremiah 29, this is what Daniel reads years later. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." So what's the content of the letter? We'll skip over to verse 10. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." I skipped a bunch of the letter, but that's what Daniel reads. And Jeremiah had written this years ago. Daniel got a hold of it in Babylon. And so through the scriptures, Daniel understands this captivity is going to come to an end. And we're getting to the time where it's going to come to an end. And so when Daniel prays, the thing that he's praying about is something God has said is going to happen. Or that God is going to use some people in Israel, some prophets, some men, some elders. He's going to use some people in Israel to go and return, I should say in Babylon, to go and return and rebuild the wall, the temple, all those things. And those are all things, I'll say this, that God is concerned about. And so the first thing to understand about Daniel's burden is God's burden. The thing that Daniel is concerned about is God's business. And if you could, if you and I could get a burden for God's business, that would dramatically change your prayer life. Here's something that's God's business: the salvation of souls. That's God's business. If you get a burden for God's business, boy, you start praying about God's business, the Lord will start, He'll start moving. Why? Because it's His business. He's interested. He's already told you He's interested. How about this? Here's something that's God's business: forgiveness, the reconciliation of people, the service of a soul to God. That's God's business. You start praying about stuff that's God's business, you're about guaranteed that God's going to listen, because He's automatically interested in what He's doing. So Daniel reads what Jeremiah had said years ago, and he reads the scripture, and so you could say the burden lined up with God's burden, the desire lined up with God's desire. And when that happened, Daniel prays, I don't know what else, what a word to use, but Daniel prays an informed prayer. He knows from the scriptures, this is something God wants, therefore I would like information and help on this thing that is God's business. So it's an informed prayer. And I would say maybe sometimes the reality of our prayers is that many of them are just selfish and uninformed prayers. They don't really have anything to do with God's business. I remember we were just talking about it in Sunday school in James, where he says, ye ask and you receive not, because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Why? It's just your motive. It's like the Lord saying, what are you going to do with this? If I give this to you, what are you going to do with it? Your motive isn't correct. But Daniel, his motive is correct. His motive is, I want to see God's business as successful. I want to be a part of that. And you get involved in his business, boy, this prayer life of Daniel's, there's so much of Daniel's prayer life in this book. It's incredible. He's such a praying man. It's an informed prayer. It's an informed prayer. What's the will of God? We talked about a couple things. Maybe it's Lord, heal me, or hurt me, whatever it is. But Jesus Christ, get the glory. Please, please, Lord, get the glory. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. John the Baptist said, and y'all know it, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. He needs to be magnified. That means I need to be diminished. That means, Lord, if it takes healing for you to get the glory, I'll take it. Obviously, I'll take it. But if it takes affliction for you to get the glory, I don't know if I'm as receptive to that, but you know what, Lord? This is about your glory. This is about your business. It's about your business. Daniel's about God's business. He prays an informed prayer. I'll give you a very uninformed prayer. Very uninformed prayer. It's in Luke chapter 18. I'll just read it to you. Jesus says this. He says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Just critical people, very self-absorbed. We're good, you're bad. We're right, you're wrong. Just very critical people. Self-righteous is the word there. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. So here's the Pharisee, the religious leader. He prays within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican. He says, by the way, I fast twice in the week, in case you didn't know that. There's also that. And I say prayers often. And I also give tithes, just in case you didn't know that, Lord. So he gives all his resume. And he's just like, you know, I thank God that I'm just not like other people. You know, I'm just a cut above, a little bit better. And then the Lord says, so good. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, and here's the commentary on it. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went away justified. Who? The publican. Why did he go away justified? Because he was looking for mercy. You know what? Each of those men got exactly what they were looking for. The publican's looking for mercy, he got it. That Pharisee, he just wants to give God his resume. And he did. And he went away. And he never got anything from God. You could say, that's a pretty uninformed prayer. This Pharisee, I thank you that I'm just not like everybody else. You know, I do these things. I'm such a good person. You know, I'm a community, you know, enthusiast, and I contribute and all these kinds of things. What's he saying to God? I don't really need you. I just want you to know what I'm doing. And the Lord says, okay, I know what you're doing, and I don't really care what you're doing. But I do care about this man who's seeking mercy, because I have that, and I can give you that. And so the publican, Lord, I can't even look up. I think about it, Joel was talking about this week, man. All across this, there were several nights right here, this pew, they're just wet, just tears. That means something to God. People begging God for help, like a publican. Lord, just show me mercy. Help me, help me. And the Lord says, that guy went away justified. You know why? Because that's what he was looking for. An informed prayer versus a very uninformed prayer. Daniel, when he prays, it's a burden. It's God's business. God's already interested in it. He gets some information from the scripture. And then he says this, verse 3, back to Daniel chapter 9. Not only is it an informed prayer, it's humble. Daniel says, verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Boy, you think he was serious about getting an answer? That's serious. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, to all the people of the land. I mean, I could keep reading. I'm not going to keep reading it. Over and over, Daniel, we have sinned. We don't listen to you, Lord. We have committed iniquity. We have ignored you. We have disobeyed you. We don't listen. We are confused because we haven't listened and heeded the light that we've been given. Over and over, Daniel says that. And Daniel doesn't say, you sinned. He says, we. I'm a part of this nation. He's under the judgment of God. He's over in Babylon because his nation is under the judgment of God. We have sinned. We did this. Daniel spends the next 13 verses or so confessing, accepting, and accepting the current condition of his people and himself because of their disregard for God. How does he start off? He says, as far as humility goes, not only confessing and accepting the reality of his sin and his corporate sin with the nation, what they've done to God as a nation. He approaches God, the Bible says, with prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And you talk about a contrite, broken man. You talk about serious prayer. Somebody who really wants an answer from God. Not just, oh Lord, do this and do that and do that, which I'm guilty of. We pray these flippant prayers, just throw them out there. Man, but Daniel, he is serious. He is begging God. He puts on the sackcloth, the ashes, and he just bows his head and bows his face. And he's just, Lord, help us. Please help us. Makes himself uncomfortable. It reminds me of that verse, the Lord, he's looking for a contrite heart. Daniel gets honest before God. That's something you ought to do. You ought to get honest before God. I mean, he knows what you're doing. You get honest before God. Quit hiding stuff from him. Quit pretending you're something that you're not. It's humility. And Daniel, he spends most of, well, a lot of this prayer just confessing. Just saying, Lord, we have messed up. We have messed up. We are in the predicament we're in because we have not listened to you. We don't care what you say. The gifts that you've sent, the prophets, the preachers that you've sent, we don't care what they've said. And now we find ourselves in captivity. We find ourselves overrun by enemies. And Daniel accepts it. Daniel accepts it. You know, there's an irony with, and I can't remember the verse, but it's like when a person comes to the point of accepting their own sin. I mean, I don't mean like approving of it, but I mean taking ownership. It's like, yes, I did this. I messed up. At that point in time, chastening really is no longer needed. It's like, you got the point now. He says it over in Leviticus, and he talks about chastening, and then he talks about when the people confess, when they finally take ownership of the sin, there's no more point in beating it out of them. Like, you understand, and that's what I needed you to do. I just need you to take ownership of what you've done. I need you to take responsibility. I need you to quit playing the victim. I need you to quit pretending it's somebody else's fault. I need you to take ownership of this sin. And when you do that, that's what I needed. And that's what you needed. You needed to do that. I wish I could remember that verse in Leviticus. It talks somewhat about that. Daniel is speaking on the behalf of his own nation, really, and owning up to the sin and the perverseness and the darkness that they've wandered in. He got humble. He got humble. I'll throw this in there. This week, I was thinking about when Joel was preaching several times, I was thinking about when the Lord said, he said it in Isaiah, and then Jesus Christ quoted it a couple times, but he said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. But what was it supposed to be? Anybody remember what it was supposed to be? A house of prayer. A house of prayer. That's what he wants, is this house. I know, not necessarily this house, but we'll make some application. That's the culture that I want. I want a culture of people calling on God, coming to this tabernacle, coming to the temple in Jerusalem, and calling on God. And in the context in Isaiah, it's all of these nations coming to the temple and calling on the Lord. And the Lord says, my Father's house is a house of prayer. That's the culture of one. I think about it for our church. It's just, if we could have, prayer is such a, it's so basic and so, but so important and foundational to a good, I say Christian life, a good life before God. It's like, if people aren't seeking God, then they're, what can he do? But if people are under a culture and in a culture of seeking after God first, I have this issue. Let's go to the Lord. Let's get his take on it. Let's get his word on it. Let's get his help in it. And guarantee his help is the best help. A culture of prayer, house of prayer. And I think about it for our church, if we could have a culture of prayer, and starting from the pulpit. A culture of prayer. And I'll show you something we'll try to implement this, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. But I got a basket up here, and we've got some cards. And I want you guys to use these cards. You write down names of folks. You write down things you want to pray for. You want us praying for. And I'm just going to keep this. I don't know where else to put it. Maybe I'll put it back there. But that's what we're going to have, is this prayer basket. And that way, you guys that maybe can't make it on Wednesdays or whatever the case is, there'll be an opportunity to put some prayer requests in and do some follow-up with the prayer requests. And my prayer is that we can have as a church a culture of prayer where we are normally used to seeking God for help. Looking to the Lord for help. This is Daniel. There's other places in the book of Daniel. He is a president. He is overseeing. He's got a lot of responsibility. And the Bible says Daniel prays three times a day. And you and I say, I don't have time to pray. I guarantee you don't have the responsibility Daniel had. I'm not going to go through all of that. But Daniel made time. Because, you know what? He understood, my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. It's just, I know I've said it before. We say these things like, I just don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to make it to church. I don't have time for this. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. But we never say things like, I don't have time because I've got to pray. I haven't made time to pray yet. So before I'm going to do anything, before we're going to get to work on the in the work day, before I'm going to endeavor to do whatever it is my responsibilities are, I'm going to seek God's help. Man, if we could do that. If we could do that. You know what that is? That's a part of humility. That's a part of humility. And then this, third thing. You skip down to verse 16. And Daniel isn't praying so that he can feel better about something. Although his emotions are quite lined up with the Lord's emotions. And how he feels about God's things seems to be the same way God feels about his own things. But notice the purpose. Verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee. Let thine anger, thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Notice how many times Daniel says, he's going to say it several more times. Daniel said, Lord, it's not my health that's at stake. It's your business that's at stake. Your people, your city, your temple. These are your things, Lord. How do we start this off? We're talking about Daniel is interested in the things of God, his appeal is based on God's business. This is your thing. You know what? You know what we've done to your things, Lord? We have made your temple, we have made your city a dump. We have brought all kinds of sin into it, and we have been judged for it. You have hauled us out of the city. You have scattered us. You have taken us captive by the Babylonians, and now 70 years have passed. Lord, for your sake, for your sake. You know what that's like in the New Testament? Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, me. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that's important. I'm just going to ask because I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. I'm going to ask on the basis of God's righteousness. I'm going to ask on the basis of Jesus Christ. Because do you know who the Father hears? The Father hears Jesus Christ. The Father listens to His only begotten Son. The Father hears Jesus Christ. Here's Daniel. For thy sake, for thy righteousness, thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, thy people, thy sanctuary, verse 17. Look at the end of verse 17. That is desolate for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear, hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. Lord, it's your stuff. This is yours. What is the salvation of a soul that belongs to the Lord? That's something the Lord can do. It's not something we can do. That's God's business. And we can have a part of that. But it's God's business. God does the delivering. God does the saving. Jesus Christ, He saves souls. So here's Daniel. For the Lord's sake, by thy name, but for thy great mercies, at the end of verse 18. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city, for thy people are called by thy name. You see how many times he beseeches God, he begs God, not because he's in captivity, not because he feels bad, but because God's business is at stake. Lord, do it for your sake, for your city, for your people, for your righteousness. Do this. Lord, I want to see my friend saved for Jesus' sake. I want to see my sister saved for Jesus' sake. My brother saved for Jesus' sake. Some of you have that. I mean, that's brothers and sisters, friends. Maybe it's time we make it about God's business. And not just us. You know, I just want to see this happen. I want a better job. If I could make some more money, it'd be better. The Lord's like, okay, how does that affect my business? If I give you more money, how does that affect my business? Why should I use my resources to help you if you're not going to help my business? I mean, I don't want to make it a transaction. But sometimes the Lord says, look, you're just going to consume it on your lust. I'm not going to give it to you. But here's Daniel. Boy, Daniel, he just, look, Lord, this is about your stuff. Your city, your temple, your people, your righteousness, your glory. And guaranteed, God hears a prayer like that. Here's a man who has humbled himself. He has informed himself with the scriptures about God's will and purpose. He's humbled himself, begged God for help, and now he provides the basis of this prayer. It's not just that he would get out of captivity or something. The basis for this prayer is that God's business and God and the Lord would be glorified in this. And now watch this. John 14 mentions Jesus Christ. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Things like that. Lord, it's for your sake. Please do it for your sake. And not, it's not just an incantation, just to say for your sake. When your heart is matched up with God's heart, and you truly love the things God loves, And you can say something like this, Lord, do it for your sake. Do it for your sake. Heal them, help them, save them for your sake. So that Jesus Christ gets glory out of this. I mean, there's so much life. I think about it. I mean, I know we keep using Renee as an example, but Renee got saved. People prayed for you, Renee. People prayed for you. You got saved, and you know who gets glory? Jesus Christ gets glory now. And when Jesus Christ gets glory, God's people are happy. I see smiling faces about that. I mean, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about God's business. And so while Daniel, back to Daniel, while Daniel is praying, I don't know how long he prayed this. It looks like he prayed for a while. It's not like just a five-minute thing. Verse 20. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. You know what that is? That's the answer. I won't go through the actual answer, but that's the answer. Here's Daniel praying, and here comes this man, angel Gabriel, and taps him on the shoulder. I don't know. He says to Daniel, you're highly favored. God has taken note of what you've asked, and I'm here to tell you and explain to you what's going on. That's the answer. It reminds me of James, where he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Boy, Daniel, that's what he's looking for. I want wisdom. I need wisdom, but I don't need wisdom for me. Lord, you be glorified in this. You be glorified in this. And here comes the answer. And the Lord sees fit. Why? Because Daniel's burden was God's burden. Because Daniel's prayer is an informed prayer. It's a humble prayer. Not selfish, it's humble. And then Daniel's prayer is based on the things of God. It's based in God's business. And when all those things come together in Daniel's life, and he's a praying man, it isn't like the first time Daniel prayed. But when all those things are meet together in the prayer of a man or a woman, the Lord, he looks down on Daniel and he says, I guess he sends Gabriel, he says, go down there and answer that man. Give him the information he needs, because I hear his prayer, and he needs some wisdom and he needs some help. And that's what you have in the rest of the chapter here. It's answered prayer. Daniel's informed prayer. His burden is the same thing as God's burden, like I said. He's humble, sackcloth, ashes, fasting, begging God, humble prayer, and purposeful. Lord, for your sake, for the Lord's sake, for thy great mercies, thy city Jerusalem, thy righteousness, thy holy mountain, thy people, thy sanctuary, the Lord's sake, thy name, thy great mercies. It's about the Lord's business. And the Lord took note and answered. If we could just get that, if we could get this from Daniel, learn, and it's not like I said, it's not an incantation, it's not, you know, if I say this right, there's the spirit of humility. There's the informed prayer of the scriptures. Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. We read it in Sunday school about an informed prayer versus an uninformed prayer in Proverbs. He talks about if someone's not willing to listen to the law, God said his prayer is an abomination. Essentially, like, look, if you're not going to listen to God, he doesn't want to listen to you. If you're not interested in hearing what he has to say, he's not really interested in what you have to say. But you turn your ears toward his book, Daniel opening up Jeremiah and reading, there's 70 years here. Lord, I think we've been here 70 years or just about. What's supposed to happen now? What do we do now? Where do I go? What happens? Lord, but Lord, for your sake, your holy mountain, your righteousness, your people, your temple, your city, your namesake, for you, Lord. And that's answered prayer now. Now he gets an answer. Let's do this. Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano. We're going to have a little time of invitation. And I'll